Chapter 3. Almonds and War. The nutty smell of baking almonds greeted Rennie as she followed the officers into the bakery. Papa was behind the counter, closing a sale with Mrs. Hobinski. The policeman moved off to one side and stood tall in their dark blue uniforms. Rennie watched everyone from the middle of the room. Papa gave her a wink and everything seemed fine. She wrinkled her nose at him. Then he bent behind the counter in that secret way he had and came out with some amaretti. His wonderful almond cookies. He reached one to Rennie and tucked the others into Mrs. Hobinski's bag next to her rolls. "Those special for Alberto," he said. Mrs. Hobinski took them out, laughing. "No, no, there is no need." Even when she laughed, Mrs. Hobinski looked and sounded serious. She had a husky voice and a straight up and down body with skirts that wrapped around her like tubes. Papa's hands sprang up. "Va bene," he said, which everyone knew meant "think nothing of it." He was in a playful mood. Rennie would ruin that if she told on Robbie. But still, Robbie wasn't allowed to ride his bike like a wild monkey. She started to munch her cookie. What did the police want? Papa had leaned his hands on the countertop to smile at the officers. "What may I do for you?" Rennie stopped chewing. A deep silence fell between the policemen. Rennie thought she heard Sergeant McPhee clear his throat. "Mr. Tranny," he said, "this is Officer Harnish. It pleases me to meet you." Papa held out his hand. Officer Harnish kept his hand at his side. His shoulders seemed rounded, though he stood straight. "Are you Cosimo Tranny?" "Why, you know I am." Papa smiled at Sergeant McPhee, a slight question in his voice. "Were you born in Italy in 1896? Continued Harnish. Slowly Papa, his eyebrows knitted together, stood up straight and stepped back from the counter. "That is correct." He used his clearest English accent. Rennie's own eyes began to squint into a frown. She finished her chew and swallowed. Officer Harnish darted his eyes around the bakery, then walked to a bright white wall where a map of Italy, the British flag, and a picture of the Pope were tacked all in a row like colorful stamps of identity. He ripped down the map and the picture, crumpled them in his hands, and tossed them to the floor. "Come with us," he ordered. Papa's eyes widened and his jaw tightened, but he stood frozen, staring at the officers and shaking his head. Mrs. Hobinski has been silent too long. She stepped to the counter and faced the officers. "What's this man done?" she demanded. Sergeant McPhee wiped a troubled frown from his face and looked at her. "Mussolini has joined up with Hitler. We are at war with Italy." What had that to do with Papa? Sergeant McPhee spoke as if everyone would know, and it seemed that Mrs. Hobinski did. She darted her eyes from the police to Papa and back again. "But Coase is a Canadian now. He's a good, well-liked man in this town. For 20 years he's baked our bread. You know he's done nothing wrong, Angus." She scowled like an angry mother. Rennie was standing by herself near the end of the counter, her arms tightened at her sides. Sergeant McPhee's lips were grim and his knuckles seemed white around the policeman's cap he clutched in front of him. He pushed himself taller. Rennie shivered. He planted a steady gaze at Papa and said in a quiet but serious voice, "You must come with us." Papa's playfulness had vanished, not in anger at Robbie, but in something that made his lips quiver and his eyes seem to melt. He came from behind the counter. For some reason, Rennie noticed how clean the bakery was, how the glass of the counters was completely spotless, how every cake platter and cookie tray was lined with a crisp paper doily, how the red, black, and white floor tiles were perfectly square and held together with pure white lines of grout. She watched Papa remove his apron. It, too, shone white. He reached his arm around her shoulder and drew her to him. She threw her arms around his waist and looked up at him. "Papa, what are they going to do?" "It's all right," he assured her. "But what's wrong?" "Not one little thing." For a second time that day he pressed her head to his chest. "There's some mistake." He lifted up her chin and looked at her with the same eyes as tyrant kings, except they were softer. He told her he loved her. "Ti amo." She held on to him to keep him safe. Sergeant McPhee interrupted them. "Your wife can send clothes to the police station." Rennie had never seen such a look on Papa's face. "There is a mistake," he repeated, pulling gently away from her and fumbling in his pants pocket. He took out his key and gave it to Rennie. He took her hand in his large and cushiony one and squeezed it until it tingled. "Lock up," he told her, and he left with the officers. They walked on either side of him, reaching the sky in their smart clothes. He was between them, short and plain, but with his silvery hair glisten and his head up. Rennie could barely turn to lock the door. When she did, her hand shook. Somehow, she steered the key into the keyhole. Mrs. Hobinski double-checked the lock for her. Then Rennie dropped the key in her pocket. It made an unsettling clink that she didn't expect. She stood for a moment, not knowing what to do. "I'll come home with you, Rennie." Mrs. Hobinski tucked the strap of her purse into her elbow and held the bag of rolls close to her. She gave the other hand to Rennie. They hurried along. There was Papa's frightened face. There he has going out the door between the two policemen. She tightened her grip on Mrs. Hobinski. "Rotten stuff, rotten stuff," Mrs. Hobinski exclaimed now and then. The dust-covered buildings of Whitney Pier seemed to pass them by trance-like. She threw her arms around Papa from behind, and he became invisible. The policeman kept going. She hadn't kept Papa safe. At home, they went straight to the kitchen. Mama stood by the stove in the ruffled green apron Loretta and Reddy had made her for Christmas. Loretta, at the table, leaned over a comic book, but she jumped right up and pulled out a chair for Mrs. Hobinski. Mama was always ready to welcome a guest. "Helen, sit. I make you a coffee." She pushed a strand of dark hair from her plump cheek and gave the sauce one more stir. Mrs. Hobinski refused the coffee and kept standing. She explained all that had happened. No, Mama didn't believe it at first, but seeing the truth in Mrs. Hobinski's eyes, she groped for a chair and sat down. The spoon sank in her lap. It left a dark spot that would spoil the apron forever. Rennie wanted to run to her, but her legs wouldn't move. Loretta did instead. "But why?" asked Mama when she could speak again. "Cosimo loved Canada, and I need to send clothes." "Where will they take him?" But there was nothing more that Mrs. Hobinski could tell her. She jumped up and began making decisions. "Me figli," she ordered her daughters in Italian. "Il pranzo. Have supper ready for Sergio. E dove Roberto. His papa will smash him. He never tells me where he goes." She ran upstairs to collect Papa's clothes. When she came down again, She spoke to Loretta. When Ricardo comes in, you send him to the station. He can explain to the police. Before she left, she turned to Helen Hubinsky. Thank you, she said in English. Mrs. Hubinsky grabbed her hands. I've done nothing, Katerina, but I'll stay here with the girls. When Robbie comes in, I'll send him for Albert. We'll sit with you. Mama was done. Rennie's hands were cold. Loretta was crying, 14 years old and weeping like a baby. Rennie grabbed the dishes and cutterly for the table. She counted enough for the entire family, including Papa and Mr. and Mrs. Hubinsky, and placed them around loudly, ordering Loretta to move her elbows. Loretta snapped at her. Leave me alone. You don't even feel bad. Don't you love Papa? Rennie bit her lip and ran upstairs. She would not cry. She would not cry. Everything was going to be fine. Hadn't Mama said Papa would be home?